Melbourne, and returning into a can as capable hands again. Eyes forward, brains on.
Okay, Python. Did I turn that on? Okay, we're done with Lisp, we're done with Scheme, we can move on to real languages now. Assuming,
With scales.
Right. Yeah, this Python is actually belongs to a friend of mine, and his name is Pearl. And I'm cheating here because that's not really a Python, but I like the picture. Okay, Python has been optional for a long time. It's been available in GIMP since 1.2 days, but it's always been something that you have to install separately, even on Linux, and on Windows it was almost impossible to install. With 2.4, they decided to make Python the default because basically everybody is getting kind of fed up with scriptfoo and Scheme, and everybody wants to move to Python because it's just, you know, it's just a nicer language, most people think. It's a nicer language for graphics, and there are a lot of things it can do that scriptfoo can't that I'll be getting into later. So it is included by default, built by default with GIMP, which means it should come with most Linux distros. And it even comes in the Mac version of Linux. So you can pretty much count on 2.4 people having Python unless they're on Windows. So that's the catch. On Windows, they still have to go and find a package, and they have to install Python, GIMP Python, and Python GTK. And there is a package to do that, but you can't assume that Windows users will have already done it. So we can hope that Python will get more and more ubiquitous. It certainly is getting more common on Windows for people to have Python. And it's not that hard to install anymore. They can go and get it, but it's not a no-brainer like using scriptfoo. It does require Python GTK because all of those dialogs that pops up, of course, are GTK dialogs. I believe that currently the Windows package includes it. And certainly on Linux and Mac, that's no problem. You'll just get it for free. Python, I mentioned before that even though you think of Python as a scripting language, it's not a script in the GIMP sense, and that's because when you install it, you don't put it in the scripts directory, you put it in the plugins directory, and that is plugins with a hyphen. But otherwise, and it has to be executable. It runs as a separate process, which is good and bad. And Perl works the same way, so if you're a big Perl fan, don't feel left out. You can always go out and get GIMP Perl, and it is going to be updated. It's not completely orphaned, but I like Python better, and the GIMP developers seem to also, so that's what I'll be talking about. Finding examples is not as easy. There are examples floating around, and there are new ones being written because a lot of people who have in the past written scriptfoos are now starting to write Python. So over the next half year or year, I think we'll see a lot of Python scripts showing up. You can Google for them, but it's harder to find them. And I found that when I Googled, I tended to find a lot more Monty Python than I found GIMP Python scripts. But the registry is useful. You can search by language. So if you just want to get lots of examples, go to registry.gimp.org, search for Python scripts, or go to the new registry. I don't have the URL for that. I should have put it up. And the other thing is it has actual documentation. One thing I didn't mention about scriptfoo is that there isn't really any documentation on Tiny Scheme. You can go to schemers.org and get the Scheme spec. You can go to the website for Tiny Scheme and find out various things about it, but there really isn't a manual or a list of functions you can get. So it's hard to figure out how to, if you want to write a program that's non-trivial and you just want to find out about language features, it's very hard. Of course, Python has great documentation. PyGTK, you may or may not have used that yet, but the GTK front end for Python is very, very well documented. It's got a great website, and so the documentation is all online. And GIMP Python is, well, sort of documented. It's not, you know, it's not as good, but there's at least a start at documentation. So I have a template for that. Okay, PY template. So I'm going to copy, plug, and notice that you can't quite use tab complete because there's plugin RC and plug dash ends. It is really annoying. Okay, and I'll call it. Let's do the same thing as we did before, right? The Blobify script. It doesn't have to have a .py extension, but might as well. And you know, it looks like a normal program. It's not Lisp anymore, no more parentheses. You can read it. Now, something, I put in these three lines. These three lines really shouldn't be here. So if you're using my template, get rid of them. I'll talk. Oh, yeah, right. Sorry. Yeah. Okay, and oh, and remove the old layer. Obviously, shouldn't be there either. So sorry about that template. Let's see, what am I doing here? Well, we'll talk about that later. Okay, so the first thing I'm going to want to do is the same thing I did before. Let's get the procedure browser back up again. That was GIMP selection layer alpha was the first thing I did. In Python, what that looks like, it's pretty much like these lines I have already, pdb dot whatever. And notice that I'm using underscores rather than dashes, obviously, because Python wouldn't like the dashes. Now, what I'm going to do is, where's Blobify? Sorry, I can't see my keyboard. What I'm going to do is copy this stuff so that I can see it. I don't know why it's doing that. That's very strange. I was attempting to do middle mouse, but I'm going to try one more time. No, it doesn't want to paste for some reason. Okay, anyway. So let's get the arguments this way. We're just passing the layer in, and the layer is a parameter. It works pretty much the same as script foo does. Dot. And what was next? Layer and selection invert. And that took the image, right? Yeah, that took the image as a parameter. And then drop shadow dot script. I think it was script foo dot drop shadow, but let's make sure. Yeah, script foo drop shadow. And just put underscores wherever script foo had dashes. That takes image. Okay, image layer offset. And what was the last thing? Opacity and allow resize.
Color.
Oh, yeah, right. I'll do those last two first, then I'll go back and do the color. I always forget capitalization for Booleans. Okay, color was before opacity. And the way you pass a color in Python is as an array. 0, 0, 0. So again, it's pretty much like script foo, just a different data structure. And then PDB, GIMP, none image. So let's see if I did that right. Oh, you're right, I already had the GIMP selection none. Okay, I'll delete that one. Oh, and it would also help if I gave it a sensible name. Now I'm not gonna call it Blobify. Well, I could call it Blobify here, but I'm not gonna call it Blobify in the menus because I have to be able to tell it apart from my script foo Blobify that I already put there.
Call it Blobify.
Yeah, that's good. And, well, I'll leave the argument in for how much, but I won't actually use it right now. Okay. Pi. That's pretty funny. Okay, so one difference between... Oh, yeah, right. Okay. Okay, let me make sure that's executable. It should be. And it is. And unfortunately, there's no equivalent to refresh scripts that'll go out and look for new plugins. So all I can do here is quit GIMP and restart. But the nice thing is I only have to do that once. Once it's in the menus, I can change the script. And since it's executing it as a separate process, it'll see any changes that I make. Do a little dance while waiting. Let's get the image. Open recent. So let's see if the registration worked first. I didn't put it in light and shadow, did I?
Generic.
Generic, okay. Yeah. And remember, I left that in, but I'm not really using it. Whoa, worked the first time. All right. So Python's pretty easy. Just remember PDB dot, because there's a PDB object that gives you access to all the GIMP functions. And Python, of course, is a lot faster than script foo. It's not scheme, which may or may not be an advantage depending on your outlook. But the other advantage is that you have access to the full Python GTK toolkit. So you aren't restricted to these limited GIMP dialogues. You can actually design your own dialogue that looks like anything you want. You can handle events, you can catch mouse clicks, you can do all kinds of cool stuff. So it gives you a lot more power than you'll ever get from script foo. And also, you have access to the bits in the image. One thing script foo can't do is, say, loop over your image and, you know, warp some pixels to other places. All it can do is call GIMP functions that are already there. But Python can access the pixels. You can do anything you want. It's not super fast. You know, Python is still pretty much interpreted. Yeah?
Can I get those pixels into NumPy?
Into
NumPy vector library.
Well, I mean, you can get them into memory, and then you can do anything you want with them.
Okay.
So, and I will show an example of that. So first, let's look at an example of custom dialogues. This is something, did I put it here? No. Okay, well, I actually already have it installed in mine. Plugins. ratioinfo.py, and I can put this up on the website, or you can Google for it. This is something that a GIMP contributor, here he is. Sorry?
JL's Brazilian.
Yeah, he's Brazilian. And he's been running some really cool Python scripts and experimenting with the limitations, or lack thereof, of Python. And so he wrote the script as a sample. Somebody on one of the GIMP lists was complaining that 2.4, when you make selections, no longer shows you the aspect ratio. And he wanted a numeric aspect ratio for selections and for the crop tool. And he was, you know how mailing lists get. He was getting very agitated that he couldn't get this anymore. And so Joao thought about it, and he thought, well, actually, there's a way to do that from Python. And he put it, I think, in select, yeah. Now, it's not exactly beautiful UI. I'll move it up higher so you can see it better. But of course, you could make it look like anything you want. And then my current tool is the rectangular selection tool. And if I make a selection, it, you know, this dialog updates live. I can change the aspect ratio, and it updates. So it's pretty cool. And you could have a dialog that looked like anything you want. You could convert it into other units or anything. So it's cool to be able to do this. There's only one way in which it's not quite as cool as it looks. What it's doing is polling. Because there's no way to ask GIMP, has the selection changed, or has the image changed, or has the layer changed? And I hope they'll add that, because there's so many really powerful things you could do with a Python script if it didn't have to pull and update itself every 10 seconds or whatever it's doing. Anyway, this is a tiny little script. You see the register stuff starts here. So the whole script is really all in here. It's using pygtk to define the little dialog. And then it's using, I think, libgimp to, how is it checking? You know, label.setText. So it's not even libgimp. That's still using the PDB, still using the procedural database. So very simple script, and it does something pretty useful. And he's written some other things, too, that you can get access to the pixels in the image, and you can also get access to paths. So if you define a fairly complicated path in GIMP, you can do not only PDB path operations, but you can go over the points and do something really complicated with a path. And nobody's come up with a useful example of that yet. Joao has come up with some examples that aren't so useful, but they're kind of neat. And then direct pixel manipulation, which is probably more important, because that really is something that you need to do for certain types of GIMP operations. Like, I have a plugin called ArcLayer. I'm going to run it on... Let's get rid of my shadow. Where is it? Filters, starts. So I have a little Python script called ArcLayer that does this. You give it a radius and tell it whether it's the top of a circle or bottom of a circle. And it thinks, and it's slow. So while it's doing that, let's look at the source. So this is a bit longer than Joao's. And what it does is use pixel regions. Yeah, that's not very readable. Let's see. So it's starting out basically by getting the pixel region into a variable called source region, and again into dest region. One is read and one is write. And then you can just do a normal Python loop over the bits, get access to the bits, write to the new layer, and do anything you want. We're still going. Okay. Well, while we're waiting for that, I'm also going to look for... Now, there's another way to read the pixels that's actually a little bit faster. And the plugin WorldPinch, which comes with GIMP. So if you have GIMP installed, you have WorldPinch.py, at least if you have 2.4. Yeah, that looks good. And what it does is define this class. It's much more object-oriented than my Python is. Defines this class called PixelFetcher that goes to the actual tiles that libgimp is using under the hood. They're 64 by 64 tiles, and you can read directly from those if you spend a fair amount of time defining a class to do it. Unfortunately, you can't write to tiles, so you pretty much have to use pixel regions rather than tiles to write. This is still calculating. My poor machine only has 192 meg of RAM. But it's almost here. So close.
She was asking anyone about kept speaking and said it was keeping her in.
Yeah. It's interesting that it's not updating while it's doing that, because it should be in a separate... Okay, well, not a great example, because it's not clearing the layer. And that's actually a problem with these pixel regions. The code is still a little buggy. Let's go back to arc layer. Yeah. So you should be able to do a select clear. You should be able to do GIMP edit clear. And sometimes they don't work right. So pixel regions are, they've been around for a long time. And they are used in a few GIMP plugins, but they're not all that well supported yet. And if you try hard enough, you can eventually find a way to do it. But I guess I don't have the version that does it right. But anyway, sometimes that's the best way to do things. So I have a simpler example of how to use pixel regions. You know, you get the pixel region, you make a Python range, you specify width and height for the pixel region, and of course you're using memory, so you can get the whole image, but you probably don't want to. You probably want to operate on small regions as much as possible. And then you can just write to the destination region. GIMP progress update is a good thing to know about. That was what was updating the progress bar. You can initialize it with... GIMP progress init. It's still up. Yeah, anyway. Yeah, I can see it here, but yeah, GIMP progress init. You can give a string to show the user in the progress bar, and then you can calculate your percent done and update it at a reasonable frequency. And then at the end, you have to do these three things, which are kind of magic. It's not well documented how they differ. There's shadow tiles are something that you always need to update when you're writing to a pixel region. And it's easiest to just kind of copy code and always do the same thing. And well, yeah, that doesn't fit on the screen. I showed you what WorldPinch is, and probably what you want to do is copy the WorldPinch code if you want to read from GIMP tiles and do anything with the pixels. So I talked about some of the disadvantages of Python, which it does have as well as advantages. It's mostly a problem of getting Python scripts to Windows users. And also that there aren't a lot of scripts available. But I think that second problem will not be a problem for very long. I think we're going to see a lot of new Python scripts coming out. And you know, maybe they will even update the API a little bit so that you can. There's some things you could do if you could get real-time updates, like the layer has changed, or even not as events, if you could ask, is the layer the same? You know, when was the last modified time of this layer, or when was the last modified time of the selection? Then you could do things like the iWarp plugin. Has anybody used the iWarp plugin? No. A few iWarp users. It's something where you can basically drag interactively on an image and distort things. You know, it's like you're pulling the image one way or another. And the problem is you're doing everything in a little tiny preview window, so it's very hard to see whether your iWarped image is going to be good enough when it's translated to the full size of the image. But you could write with Python or C, you could actually write basically your own preview window. You could use PyGTK to put up something showing the whole image at full size. You could scroll around in it, you could drag, and then you could update the image in real time. And you could also fake something that people have been asking for. Photoshop users always come in and ask about adjustment layers. An adjustment layer is something where, for example, you might have a text layer, and then you have a layer on top of it, which is the concept of a drop shadow. So rather than doing a drop shadow once, you have something where if the text layer changes, the drop shadow automatically changes to mirror it. And you could actually do that. This was Joao's idea, too. You could do that with Python. You could fake a drop shadow layer because all you have to do is have a Python script running that checks to see whether your text layer has changed, and then it just runs the drop shadow again. It would be very cool, and I think it would be very powerful. So perhaps we'll get something like that sometime soon in GIMP. And so I'm going to move on to talking about some of the other languages. I won't really say anything about Perl. GIMP Perl is a lot like GIMP Python. And if you love Perl, you should look into it. And some people still do write in Perl. I mean, a lot of people write in Perl, but there are some people still write in GIMP Perl. I mean, don't mean to disparage Perl programmers. Perl is a fine language. Yeah, it's funny because there are actually a lot of GIMP Perl scripts that used to be very common and used to be distributed with GIMP, like Perlotine, which is a thing that breaks up your image into lots of chunks. Web developers like it sometimes. So you can make basically an HTML array of small images. And when Perlotine went away, there is a Python version, but it's not quite as polished as Perlotine was. And I think there are some other Perl scripts floating around that are, you know, really good and really polished. Ruby and C#, there aren't so many examples. They're kind of proofs of concept. A few people are using them, but not a lot. But C, of course, is still where most of the examples are. And I'm not going to do a live demo of C, but I will show you a little bit about what it looks like. Of course, it's way faster than Python. It's way, way faster than script foo.
Faster than foo? Faster than foo?
It builds pretty fast. Typically, when you're writing a GIMP plugin, you're not writing anything huge. You know, you're going to have a few files, maybe, oh, I don't know, 5 or 10 files. You probably won't have more than that ever in a GIMP plugin. So build time really isn't an issue. And of course, C can do anything you can do in a plugin, you can do in a C plugin. You know, there are no limitations. And there's the whole libgimp library you can call into. Python can call into libgimp as well. But the code is much more complex. And if anybody's done GTK programming in C versus GTK programming in Python, that's a pretty good example of the complexity difference. It's for some reason, the C API for GTK is just so much more complex than it is in any of the scripting languages. And that does carry through to GIMP. GIMP doesn't really make it any worse. It's really the GTK layer. And there isn't really a lot of documentation on plugins. There are a few files floating around. Like for pixel regions, there's a tutorial that someone wrote years and years ago, but it hasn't changed very much. But it doesn't really explain anything. You know, it shows you samples, and if you're doing something similar to the example, then you're fine, but if you want to do anything else, it's not so fine. But the biggest reason that I've gone away from C plugins myself is that it's so frustrating to have Windows users come and ask you, you know, do you have a binary? I don't know how to make a Windows binary. No, I don't have Windows. There is a cross-compiler, and it's possible to make a Windows binary on Linux, but I just, I don't know. It seems like a lot of work to put into. Maybe they should put in the work to switch to Linux. Okay, I'm not, I try to be sympathetic. yeah. It's pretty easy to build them on Mac. It's not a problem building on Mac. It works pretty much the same way as Linux. But yeah, the Windows binaries are still a problem. And most GIMP C plugins are distributed as source, not as binaries. And then you always get Windows users contacting you saying, well, I put your program foo.c into .gimp2.4/plugins, but it's not working. What do I do with a .c file? So it's kind of a problem. Now for templates, there is this, if you Google for GIMP plugin template, you'll find links to this official GIMP plugin template. It was updated for 2.2, but it's not been updated for 2.4, which shouldn't be a problem. It should still, I mean, everything should still work and be backward compatible. And here's what you get if you install the plugin template. There's kind of a lot of stuff there. So this is, if you want to make a big plugin and you want it to be fully internationalized and localized and you want all the language files there and you want autoconf and you want to have a configure and a make file and everything. And that all sounds great, but when you're learning to write plugins, generally you just want a C file. That would really be a lot easier. So don't be scared off by the GIMP plugin template. You don't have to use all that mechanism. You can have just a C file. I think I got one, yeah. For instance, let me move that up. For instance, autocropall.c is a pretty simple C plugin that I talked about in my book. And the way you build it is with GIMP tool. GIMP tool, on most Linux distros, to get GIMP tool, you need to install something like libgimp devel or libgimp 2.0 devel or gimp dev or, you know, anyway, the dev package for GIMP will have the GIMP tool binary and the headers you need. And, you know, it has its help options. Well, that's a little much, so anyway. Hold on. Minus minus build to compile, minus minus install installs it in your personal .gimp directory. That was build, right? And I don't know. So it just calls GCC with 100 million flags. And then you can install it. And for some reason, it builds it again. Oh, and it doesn't work. Isn't that interesting? Huh, I thought I had tried this here. OK, well, I probably need to update AutoCrop all or something. But in theory, anyway, it's easy. We could try to debug that. What? Yeah, what is that? Oh, wait. Let's try that.
Yeah,
it was probably... Okay, well, so minus... I don't actually know really what the purpose of minus minus build is, because it always builds it again when you install it. So, you know, they provide it, so I thought I should talk about it, but maybe you should just ignore minus minus build and always use minus minus install. And that should have put it in .gimp 2.4 plugins. Yeah, and no AutoCrop all is there. So GIMP tool is pretty easy to use. It can do a few other things. You can actually use GIMP tool to install your scripts or your Python plugins. I think it's well, there's a man page. Okay, there's not a man page. There is. Okay, so oh, you can do minus minus install strip if you want to, if you care about that. Install bin is what I should have done with AutoCrop all the binary. And you can install script. Am I not seeing that? There it is. Yeah, install script, script.scm. You can use install bin to install Python binaries. I find it easier just to copy the files, but you know, if you want to be completely insulated from $home/.gimp.
It also help with version number changes and things like that.
Right.
From the current version.
Right. And in fact, I have some C plugins where I have a make file that just does GIMP tool and installs it. So there, GIMP tool is a good thing to call from make files, as well as using it directly. Now, let's take a look at what a C plugin looks like. I said before all the complexity was in GTK, but it's actually not. The GIMP part actually doesn't add a lot of complexity, too. You know, the GIMP plugins always have these query and run procedures defined, plugin info, where it defines an init proc and a quit proc and a query proc, so forth. Python can actually do all of these things, too. You can make a Python object that's a subclass of a GIMP plugin object, and you can define all these procedures, but most of the time there really isn't much win from it. It's easiest to just do the simple thing. With C, you have to do the hard thing. Yeah, then you have your query proc where you call GIMP install procedure. So that's what that's the equivalent of calling GIMP register, GIMP menu register. And again, you can have a separate menu register, or you can put it in the install procedure. But you see, to do the same thing, the code just goes on and ends up looking a lot more complex, which is worth it. If you're doing something like pixel operations, like for ArcLayer, that thing that took forever, You know, that takes a few seconds to do in C. Anything where you're iterating over the bits of an image, where you're doing a lot of pixel region operations, it's worth it to use C because you'll get such a speed gain. But for anything else, it really works best to use Python or ScriptFoo. See, it goes on and on. And this was like two or three pages in Python. Right. And that's pretty much all I have. You know, basically, use ScriptFoo if you want something portable, but keep in mind that it's getting less portable. Consider Python because it may be just as portable in a few versions, and it sure is a lot easier to work with and a lot more flexible. Perl, Ruby, C Sharp, if you're in love with the language, you can do it, for sure. There's nothing wrong with them. And C only when you need the speed. And gratuitous plug for my book. Any questions? Yes?
Would it make sense to, if you're working out the algorithm for a plugin, to do it as a script first, and then if you find it's too slow, try to convert it to a C?
Yes, definitely. And in fact, that's what I did with ArcLayer. I tried it in Python, and I had all those problems with clearing a layer, but I saw that, you know, the math worked and everything, and then I rewrote it in C. So it's definitely a good way to go. I didn't repeat the question. The question I was just answering was, is it a good idea to, when you're trying something out, to try it in one of the scripting languages and then later translate it to C? And yes, definitely a good thing. Yes?
How does C Sharp speed compare to C?
I don't know. I think it's pretty comparable, actually. I've been told that it's fast. I've never actually had much luck getting mono things to work for me, so I think you pretty much have to have a mono development environment already set up, but they say that it's pretty fast. And there, strangely enough, there are some plugins that are only available in C Sharp. So there are a couple of C Sharp people who are working on plugins and trying to get that to be more accepted. So it may be a coming thing. Yes?
Is it possible to use TinyC to run the C plugins? Compile and run it straight away?
I don't know. I suppose you would have to... That would be sort of an interpreter, TinyC?
Yeah, it compiles into memory, then runs it all at once.
I suspect that you would probably have to write a GIMP extension to build in TinyC, but you could do it. It's actually not that hard to add a new language to GIMP. A Summer of Code student did it for Ruby and did it within the bounds of the Summer of Code project. So it only took a few months for a relatively beginning programmer. So it really shouldn't be that hard to take something like TinyC if you wanted to build it in and make an extension. I think there's documentation on extensions. Extensions are different from plugins. They're something that plugs in at a lower level of GIMP. So Python is an extension, and you know, C Sharp is an extension, Ruby is an extension, and you can add any language you want that way. Any other questions? Yes?
I've got a housemate who's a graphic designer, and he uses Photoshop, obviously. Does Photoshop have anything like this as part of, I don't really know much about it.
No, it doesn't. Photoshop has nothing like scriptability, or obviously it's possible to write plugins, but they don't make it easy to do that, and there is no scripting language. What it does have is a way to define macros. So you can start recording, and then you can do five operations and stop recording and have it play back those operations, which is also pretty useful. And GIMP, the only thing GIMP has comparable to that is something called David's Batch Processor, which is actually a really cool way of doing batch operations. And if you ever want to do batch operations with GIMP, Google for David's Batch Processor and you'll find it. It's a neat plugin. It's a C plugin. But But something like that, defining the set of batch operations and recording a macro, of course, you can't pass parameters and you can't change anything. You can't do anything differently. So GIMP definitely wins in that respect over Photoshop. Yes?
Is there anything, like you're using the PDB browser for lookup functions or procedures or whatever, is there anything that, or any plugin that exists that kind of lists them as you're doing actions in the GIMP, so you can like pop up a dialogue and just start doing stuff and it can say?
No, there isn't. The question was whether there's anything that'll show interactively in the GIMP as you do GIMP operations, what procedures in the procedure browser correspond with them. And there isn't. People have asked for things like that also in the context of asking for macro recording. And the consensus is that it'll probably be pretty easy to do that in the next version of GIMP, because the underlying engine, the image processing engine within GIMP, is changing to a library called GEGL, G-E-G-L. And that makes it pretty easy to store up operations and keep a record of what you're doing. So it would also be easy, I would imagine, to write a GEGL plugin that would show what you're doing as you're doing it. You know, it may be a while before GEGL comes online, but they're actively working on it now, so there are demos of it. Yes?
To GEGL, is there going to be much work making sure your scripts will work in the future when they're going to things like 16-bit color spaces and...
The question was about backwards compatibility with scripts once GIMP switches over to GEGL and has 16-bit color and all that. Nobody's really talked about that very much. I suspect that most of the PDB functions will probably translate. You know, most of them, especially if you write in a scripting language, of course you'll have to recompile in a C plugin. But anything written in a scripting language, I would think, would be pretty well backwards compatible. Probably what will happen is that there will be new operations that give you more access to the colors and the higher bit depths. But my guess is it won't be a problem, but I haven't seen a lot of talk about it. Anything else? Okay, well, the slides will be online and the plugin template will be online, so if you want to play any more with this, you know, feel free to contact me, check out the slides or whatever.